This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new Subsequent Procedures Subteam Call, Track 3, String Contention, Objections, and Disputes, held on the 30th of August, 2016. As we have quite a few participants, attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room only. So if you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, for recording purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll hand it back over to Audrey Doria. Please begin.
Thank you very much for the intro. Thank you to everybody for joining this meeting. The slides are async, so people should be able to move through them. I'll try and say what slide I'm on. By the way, this is Audrey Doria speaking. Again, I want to thank Jeff for the slides I was able to alter. You can tell they're not my slides because I never use the wonderful templates. But thank you, Jeff. So moving to slide one and the agenda. So the first thing will be going through the introductions and such. Then we'll discuss leadership. I would note at this point that I still have not seen any volunteers for leadership in the email list, so I'm hoping that someone will be ready to speak up. Then we'll talk about meeting schedules and how this group will be scheduled over the course of the next month while it's doing its work. We'll go through the chartered work items. This will not be a substantive discussion, but rather a clarification discussion just to see what's there, to talk about what needs to happen in terms of handling all these topics. And then we'll move to any other business if there is any. Is there any issue with the agenda, any changes people would like to see made to the agenda? You can tell I'm an academic and really don't want to get caught for plagiarism and put references everywhere. Okay. Seeing no hands, I will move on to the next slide, the introductions. We have, if I counted correctly, we have 22 participants with 23 observers. Sort of easy to count properly since it's a numbered list. Did include the groups that we have no participants from, partly because one of the things that as chairs we will need to respond to at some point to the GNSO Council is the full distribution of people and the degree to which we had full distribution working on these projects. So I'm a little concerned about places where we have none. And do want to note that if people count, they will see me listed on it as NCSG, but I did not count myself in that category because I will be participating in this group as one of the co-chairs, sitting in the background, being willing to help and will not be, arguing for NCSG points per se. So I included myself in the count differently. So that's the distribution we've got now. I thought of doing a distribution by geographical region, but when I was putting together the edits to these slides yesterday, I realized I didn't really have that information. I would have used that information for perhaps looking at our scheduling to just understand how many people are affected by the rotations, and we'll get to the schedule. So that's basically, we're on slide four now, looking at the list of participants. I just wanted people to see where we're at. You can see that we're stronger in some areas than in others. Okay, anyone want to talk about the participants or anything else? You say do outreach to others if you feel that there are people that are missing from this discussion that should be here. I see no hands on that. So I'll move through to leadership. and I'm now on slide six. So the responsibility of the leaders or co-leaders of the group, and I would mention that we are the last of the groups to go through this exercise. All the other subgroups have opted for co-leaders, and I think that helps because no one had to take the responsibility on alone. And knowing from the work that I'm doing with Jeff in the PDP working group itself, having a co-chair, co-leader, co-rapporteur is essential for a certain kind of sanity. So coordinating the efforts of the sub-team, and that is the main function, communicating the status of the sub-team to the rest of the leadership team and the full working group. This includes participating in weekly leadership call to keep the work moving and coordinated. So the leaders do get themselves not only this meeting, but another meeting to attend. Again, if there's co-leaders, they can share that burden. It's best if all participate in those, but it's understandable if all don't. Working with the staff and the working group co-chairs is needed to get the work done, which includes developing the content for the full working group meetings and the reports that we have to put out. We put out our initial recommendations, and then we put out the final ones. Each of the subgroups will also be either putting out its own set of questions to the community at the beginning of their work, and perhaps we'll do a joint between them all. So there will be several bits of output to the community and to the wider community. Then most importantly, acting with neutrality towards the sub-team participants and the issues being dealt with within the group in the effort to help the group come to consensus on preliminary recommendations. All recommendations will be brought to the full group for discussion and possible approval as PDP working recommendations, at which point they get sent out for comment and eventually get sent to the GNSO Council for approval and forwarding to the board. So that's slide six. Are there any questions on that? Especially interested in questions from anyone who's just about to volunteer for one of the roles, one of the leadership roles, if they have any questions that they'd like to ask. No? Seeing on? Okay, I'll go to the next slide. Volunteers thus far. I have not seen any. I checked the list just before the call started. So at this point, I'd like to ask for one, two, or more volunteers, or feel free to volunteer others you see on this list. Jeff and I have excluded ourselves from being the actual leadership of any of the groups. We did each of these initial meetings to get it started, but just for balance and perspective and just the amount of work that any one of us has to do, that cannot take on the leadership of these groups. So we do need one of you. So I'm looking for hands of volunteers. Not doing real well here with that. This is something where I actually have a failing compared to. Jeff seemed to find his volunteers quite quickly, and I seem to be having a poor time of it. And even, perhaps Jeff, if you're listening, you can say a couple encouraging words, because it was your talk last time in Act One that finally brought us a volunteer. So I'm wondering if you can say anything that would inspire someone from this group to volunteer.
Sure. This is Jeff Newman. I'm not sure I have too many words of inspiration, but there certainly are a number of people on this list that I'm looking at that could certainly do the job. Just know that whoever volunteers, Aubrey and I, and the other leaders will certainly help you all every step of the way.
We'll have. I really don't understand why we're having so much trouble finding someone to volunteer to lead or co-lead. So I'm wondering if someone can perhaps explain why that I can't get any volunteers. Okay. Well, I'll skip over this for a moment. Obviously, Jeff isn't able to speak at the moment. This group will need leadership to go on, but I'll move to discussion of the content of this group. First we'll do the scheduled meetings. Oh, Mike, yes, please. I saw your hand briefly, Mike. Yes, please, Mike.
Hi, Aubrey. I was just going to say, I know a lot of people in this group, and most of us are on, I think, 6 or 7 different working groups right now. I think that's why you're not getting any of us putting our hands up.
Because I can't hear Jeff again. I can't hear Mike either. Hopefully he was volunteering.
No. Hi, Aubrey. This is Terry. Can you hear me?
Okay, I fixed it, mine. So, sorry.
Hi, Aubrey, it's Terry. Are you able to hear me?
I'm able to hear now. I found the problem.
Certainly.
So,
thank you.
What did I miss?
Both Jeff and Mike had comments.
Okay. Okay, great. So, sorry, my problems got fixed. I can hear now. I understand that I did not miss someone volunteering for the task, or did I?
No, you didn't, Aubrey. I was just saying that, most of the people on this list are in, I think, 4, 5, 6, 7 different working groups. I think there's just burnout and fear of taking on leadership. I'll just speak for myself, but I think there's a few others at least that would say the same thing.
And I understand that fear completely. However, to get the work done, somebody's going to have to step in. And this one is a fairly important one. Okay. So I'll leave that open because obviously I can't volunteer anyone, but we will need someone to volunteer to proceed with the work. I'll go through with the rest of the meeting at the moment, and I'll come back to this issue, and we'll come back to it on the list, and perhaps we'll have to start approaching people individually and whatever, but it really is problematic in terms of getting the work done. Okay, move to the scheduling guidelines is that in one of the first tasks will be to complete an initial work plan. So we have a fair amount of work to do. That work will need to be looked at. That work will need to be prioritized in terms of the bandwidth of people to do the work, what work may predicate other work. We'll talk a little bit about that more going on. But basically, once we have leadership for the group, we will need to start structuring how to schedule the work across many meetings. Each of the groups may schedule calls as often as one time a week, one time every 2 weeks or whatever. We've started tracking things with the presumption of every 2 weeks that was a sufficient workload. But if a group gets to a point where it thinks it needs to work more often, it will be able to, as a group, make that decision. We have to try and miss all of the, for example, the Workstream 2 work, which is taking up a lot of people's bandwidth. We scheduled our meetings as possibly occurring in three different time bands, the 3 UTC, the 15 UTC, and 20 UTC, and with the plan of, in general, rotating among them. Again, a group that looks at it and says, wait a second, we have no one for whom one of these time slots is comfortable, and we therefore decide not to use it, that again would be a group decision that could be made. The original assumption, though, is that all groups would have regional diversity and therefore would all need to rotate the sharing of pain. As it said, the scheduling is complicated by the CCWG work streams, the RPM PDP subteams, the RDBS, GNS Council, etc., and recognizing that people have jobs and people have other stuff. So there will be rotating, but again, we'll have meetings recorded and such when people need them made. We have, in terms of working the schedule, being that we have the first tracks going, have come up with essentially an alternating Tuesdays for most of the subgroup, the work track meetings, and so within that schedule have tentatively slotted the next two sessions of this group for September 13th at 3 UTC and September 27th at 15 UTC. As we get leadership in place and the group moving, we can certainly adjust it, but wanted to get the September schedule set. So I'd like to ask if there's any issues, questions, what have you, with the scheduling guidelines at this point. Okay, seeing no hands, does seem one of those calls where I will mostly talk. Okay, so moving on to the issues that we need to cover. One of the first things to talk about is some of the duties within these, and I mentioned, okay, Emily, please, I see your hand.
Hi, Aubrey, this is Emily. I just wanted to note it in the chat that it looks like we have a volunteer, Jian Zhang.
Oh, thank you. And I see that as not being willing to be the sole chair, and have noticed a trend that once we have one possible co-chair, finding the second one becomes easier. So I thank you very much for your volunteering. And I also wanted to assure you that Jeff and I both will be at most meetings and available to help as needed, as well as, you know, our staff support of Emily and Julie and, of course, Terry with the calls. So we definitely will provide support. I thank you very much. And I understand that many of the new subgroup leaders, this is their first time out. That's kind of one of the reasons why Jeff and I've taken the 1 and 3 to pay closest attention to. Jeff has taken 2 and 4 to pay closest attention to. They will both be paying attention to both. And to make sure that we do help. It's actually a wonderful opportunity for developing new leadership within the work we're doing, to within a subgroup, getting one's feet wet at leading one of these groups. It's really not as scary as it seems before you start doing it, once you start doing it. And so I hope, thank you. Great. Oh, I feel so much better then. Okay. So in terms of the work stream work items, what needs to happen on all of these is, as I said, there needs to be a prioritization. There will need to be a schedule. There will need to be an understanding of if they have links to some of the other issues in some of the other tracks. That will be an important thing. And those are the things that get discussed in that weekly leadership group where we talk about the issues and we find out who can help from what and who's got the other part. There'll also be perhaps certain interactions with some external groups in terms of the work they're doing that we need to import into our thing. The chartered items that we have are applicants' freedom of expression, examine other DAC advice, community processes, and reserve names impacted this goal. And going further on that, not only impacted, but if so, what can be done about it? What's the proper way to handle those issues? If you remember going back to our discussions earlier of flexibility versus predictability and understanding, but we do want to make sure that fundamental freedoms are not abrogated or abridged, especially given the mission and core values of ICANN. String similarity. Were string contention evaluation results consistent and effective in preventing user confusion? Were the string contention resolutions mechanisms fair and efficient? So look at those mechanisms. Look at some of the issues that came up. Discuss them. Should it have been treated differently? Should there have been post-appeals for string contention? Did those mechanisms work? And if not, how do they need to be improved? Objections. Review rules around standing, fees, objection consolidation, consistency of proceedings and outcomes. Review function and roles of independent objector. Consider oversight of process and appeals mechanisms. As most anyone on this call and probably even outside of this call knows, there was a lot of discussion around the objections and how they worked and did they work as they should have and could they have worked better. So this will be one of the main topics within this. Before moving on to slide 12, I just wanted to pause for a second and see if there were any comments on these issues that people wanted to, you know, ask for clarification on or, you know, make an extra point on. Okay, yes, Kurt.
So I'm commenting with great trepidation here, but so these five recommendations really went to the term of reference on how new GTLD should be allocated. And at the end, you know, there were four categories of names where allocation needed to be regulated in some way. There were geographic names, names that were confusing with one another, community names and names that infringed on rights. And at the end, it was decided to implement an objection process for a few of these in order to protect the names that we would provide an objection process. And so, you know, one of the questions we should ask is looking back now, is the objection process the right way to go about that, given that, you know, the objection process got gamed and, you know, there were some problems with the implementation of it. So what we're trying to do is protect these four types of names that the community identified as requiring some protections. And so I think a question isn't just whether the objection process could be done better, but whether the objection process is the right way to, you know, address some of these issues.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, Kurt.
And I do find it quite valuable that you are part of this group as you have great experience at trying to implement the policies of 2007, and indeed using objections was part of what was contained there So indeed, that is a very good question to add to this. Thank you. I see your hand is still up. Did you want to make a further comment or, I guess not. Or I'll wait for the next slide. Okay, thanks. And seeing no other hands, I'll move on to slide 12. So when Kurt was speaking, he was addressing all five of these. So let me go through the last two. The accountability mechanisms. Examine whether dispute resolution and challenge processes provide adequate redress options or if additional redress options specific to the program are needed. And then there's a note that the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability is comprehensively reviewing accountability mechanisms, so a portion of this topic may be beyond the scope of the new GTLD subsequent procedures, PDP, or I might add, since many of the people here are also involved in those and whatever comes out of it, so there may actually be some value in two-way conversation between the work being done here and the work being done there. This group can certainly input some of the concerns that were had with various accountability things, and if it fits within one of the work stream subgroups that are ongoing, they can actually take it up, and vice versa, as those groups come up with recommendations, you know, before those recommendations have gone through the whole process and become relatively solid within a consensus process, you know, to comment on them and to make sure that concerns that this group has are indeed covered by that work. Then there was the specific discussion of community applications. Was the overall approach to communities consistent with recommendations and implementation guidance? Did the community priority evaluation process achieve its purpose and result in anticipated outcomes? Were the recommendations adequate for community protection? And that is a fairly large issue where there have been many discussions, many accusations of gaming, perhaps some actual gaming, et cetera. So there'll be a lot of discussion, I expect, within that area. And then there'll be other issues that come up that are actually found through the discussion that's going on in the main group now with the community comment. One that came in the overarching issues may indeed have some issues that get added to this from that. There may also be issues that are discovered in other groups that, in others of the tracks that, you know, require some discussion within this track. So open up the floor again to anyone that would like to make some comments on that. Or questions, clarifications, any suggestions of what belongs in other. I guess there's taking Kurt's comment and generalizing it and basically asking on all of these mechanisms, was the type of mechanism appropriate? As was brought up in Kurt's, and he does like to argue, is the essential mechanism the right one? And it's not a question of the mechanism was implemented badly, but that the mechanism was inappropriate for the problem. Seeing no hands, hearing no phone folks, I see Rubens has a comment. I suggest we look into related mechanisms in bundle, string similarity evaluation, and string confusion objections, community priority evaluation, and community objection. So yeah, that should be added to you know, part of the relationship between the various tracks. Any comments before I move on this? Okay. We get to the any other business. We in any other business, I was going to come back to the co-chairs issue. We have a first co-chair, and the volunteering was to be co-chair, not to be sole chair. So I'd like to ask at this time if, seeing that we have one co-chair, anyone else has been moved to volunteer to work with Jan and take on the co-chair role. Okay, seeing none, I will ask the question online again, and we'll start contacting you guys privately to see whether it's possible to convince someone to take on this role despite being overloaded. Some of you have great experience and great talent and would love to be able to use some of it in the leadership of this group. I now ask, I see Emily is typing something, and I'll ask whether anybody has any other business. If not, we will be able to call this meeting, Emily has apologized for not circulating early. Jean Zhang, S-O-I-N, please, anytime I mispronounce a name, please correct me. I do like to learn to pronounce names correctly, or at least as much as my palate can get correctly. So, no other business? Last call in this meeting for any volunteers for co-leader? No? Really? No hands, hearing no voices. I'll call this call done. We have now started this track, and we'll be talking to you on list and separately on the co-leader issue. Please think about it. Or please talk to people you know who don't happen to have attended this meeting who you think might be good in the role. I'm not asking you to go so far as to volunteer them in absentia, but if you did, that wouldn't have been so bad. Okay, thank you all. Until next time. Call is over.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.